The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
You're listening to the Woodshed Music Program, and once again, I'm your host, Gary Puckett. We're coming to you exclusively through the new media program feeds of www.theflypod.com. I'd like to welcome all of our new MP3 and iPod subscribers, and if you're one of those streaming our shows directly on the website, that's okay too. We're glad to have you along. Either way, we are your source for local world time-shifted MP3 audio podcasts and are totally immersed in the new media evolution. Taking our podcast programming, and you have just upped your listening. We have a real treat for you today, and to start off the show, I'm going to play a song from the latest CD of my guest artist. It's the title track, and it's called Three Fivin'. We'll be right back with Todd Taylor, the banjo man. Hang on, because this boy can pick.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That was 3-5 and as performed by the banjo man himself, Todd Taylor, along with his talented group of musicians. Todd, my man, welcome to the Woodshed Music Program.
It's an honor to be here on the Woodshed Music Program with you, and I appreciate you playing my team. That's one of my favorite teams.
Oh, it's a great song, man. I tell you what, you put some thought and some effort into playing that thing.
Yeah, when I wrote that tune, I was just thinking about something Well, I wrote that tune like in about 3 minutes. We were shooting a video on that tune this year. That song, as you may know, that was nominated this past year. I was nominated for 7 Grammy Awards. That whole CD was, and that tune was nominated for Best Instrumental Song.
That's cool. You were Grammy nominated in 2004, 2005, 2006, and here we are in 2007, and your title track, the 3-5 in which I just played, received 7 nominations for the Grammys in 07. Tell me about that whole thing.
Yeah, you know, it's been an incredible ride. I had retired from Nashville down to Florida just to take it easy and for a while, because I've been working, you know, in the country music field as well with Kenny Bearden, major Grammy songwriter, Thornton Klein. He wrote a lot of Engelbert Humperdinck's tunes, Love Is No Reason, Gloria Gaynor, also Tim McGraw, and I've been working with him and wrote some songs with him. And I've been in Nashville with Shep Woolley, which is like my stepfather, which he's passed away now, but the One-Eyed Purple People Eater. And I've spent many years there touring with lots of people, you know, and doing the country music field and doing bluegrass. And when I come here, I retired. So I built, I formed Pirate Records, started back recording bluegrass, going back to my roots, because my roots was bluegrass. I loved it with the banjo. And like the first album was Blazing Bluegrass Banjo, and it got nominated in 2004. And 2005, I never dreamed I'd ever be nominated again, which Taylor made were us. Then this year, my favorite album and the best album out of Pirate Records was this album, Todd Taylor, 3-5, and 7 Grammy nominations. And the, what happens is everything's nominated in 2006, so it's nominated right before 2007. Then it rolls on over into 2007, but it was amazing to make it again this year and to get 7 nominations. And what was so great about it was I not only got nominated 3-5 in the song we just played, was nominated for Best Instrumental. I was also nominated for Best Producer and Best Engineer, because I produced and engineered my own stuff. And,
wow. Well, just a couple of months ago, the Guinness World Records Organization, they dubbed you the title and the distinction as the world's fastest banjo player. How does that feel?
Let me tell you how that feels. That was something that had been playing for a long time. Guinness World Records is a great bunch of people, but it takes a lot of preparation for that kind of stuff. They actually picked the song that I played, which was Dueling Banjos, which is actually called Feuding Banjos. It was written by Arthur Smith and written by Don Reno, two legendary players. I didn't really like having to do that song, but, you know, you got to do what Guinness rules say. And I did the song, and I did it for the fun of it, but that was a great accomplishment.
Well, somebody told me that you were measured at 210 beats per minute. Is that true?
That's true. I actually can do it at 320 beats a minute, but it's got to be recognizable. And I did it at 210 beats a minute. And the day that I did it, believe it or not, I was really not feeling good at all, but I had to do it, and I did it. I did it for all the people around the world, you know.
Dude, that's fast. That is fast.
Guinness people are great, you know, but it took a long time to set that up. If anybody out there is interested in doing a Guinness World Record or trying to break my record or anything, it's a long process you have to go through, but it's worth it in the end if you do the record.
Oh, sure. Well, what kind of banjo do you play? What's the make and model that you play?
I am currently playing, I partnered up with my good friend, he's a legend, Greg Rich, and he's a designer. He used to be with Gibson, with tons of other major companies,
okay.
And Scott Zimmerman out of Japan, a Recording King Banjo Company. They're owned by the Music Link, and I'm the first person, and I've been endorsing their product for over a year, and that's the banjo that I play. They're great banjos, and what's so great about these banjos, they're making these banjos to where the ordinary person that has just gotten into playing the banjo, when they get good, if they don't have a lot of money to spend on a banjo, these banjos are just priced great. So anybody can get one, but you've got a banjo that is a quality banjo. They're awesome banjos. I guess you can hear how that banjo sounds on the recording.
Well, I was just going to say that it really has a superb sound to it. I'm impressed by it.
And that's the Greg Rich design and the Scott Zimmerman where they come into play. These guys are legendary. Greg Rich is my hero because of all the stuff. He's designed like the Roy Rogers guitars. He's designed like for major rock stars in the industry of musical instrument. design and for all those Gibson guitars and banjos over the years. Some of these banjos cost and guitars like millions of dollars, artsy guitars. He's the main guy that's designed those alone. And Scott Zimmerman, he's a noted world famous luthier. He resides in Japan, and he's a great, great guy. And he builds also banjos for Desert Rose and all, but they're all great people. I did this deal with these people and to play their banjos, and they're great banjos.
You're a great guy to have as a representative, I'll say that.
Yeah. Todd, and, you know, I don't get paid anything from them. It's, by the way, I'd like to make note this. I don't take any money, get paid anything from them. I believe in the product.
You do it because you want it.
I do it because I want it. And, you know, they give me my instruments, but that's it. I don't take any money from them at all. You know, they promote me, too. But, you know, but I don't take any money because it is a good product, and I believe in the product that I'm playing, because I know other people, if they buy it, it's got my name on it too, so I want it to be something good for them.
Of course. Well, I want to take a little break here right now, Todd, and offer something to our listeners. Let's offer this version, your version, of a classic banjo tune, Orange Blossom Special. This is truly a unique interpretation. We'll be right back with my guest, Todd Taylor. That was Todd Taylor's rendition of the classic tune Orange Blossom Special. Todd, it takes a lot of different variables to come into this. Beside the Recording King banjos, are there any other particular tools that you use and employ in your work? I mean, I don't want to make a commercial out of this thing, but I think it's important.
Well, it isn't. That's true. I would like to mention Ben Cole and Dave Cowles at GHS Strings. You know, when I started out in this industry, the legendary Carl Story, I used to play with the Taylor Twins. We were the Taylor Twins, I and my twin brother. We started out doing bluegrass. We toured and played with the legendary people. We were 8 and 10 years old. Roy Acuff's the first person that ever put us at the Grand Ole Opry on the Grand Ole Opry. Back then, and we toured in amusement parks and everything, but GHS String Company, before we ever did any of that, Ben Coles, Dave Childs, they were giving me my banjo strings and guitar strings and all for my twin brother. And they are great. And I've been with them for over 20-something years. And those guys, they are just super, and they've kept me supplied in strings. And it's a team effort. So everything that I've accomplished in my career, I look to this date, like some the Go Records, the Grammy things. It's a whole team effort to me, because it's people like my buddies at Pine Castle Records, the Music Shed, Court Riggs, you know, like Dogwood Designs. And I'm not making a commercial. I'm just saying that it's just like a NASCAR team. And I appreciate everything that everybody's ever done for me and what they've done to help me. And I'm the same way. I try in return to help people too, you know.
Well, I want you to think back, and I have a question for you. Just think back hard. Where did you get your very first banjo?
My very first banjo, I was 6 years old. My mom and dad had took me to Disney World, which I'm in Florida right now. I live in Nashville in Florida. My mom and dad took me to walk to Disney World, and there was a guy playing a banjo on a riverboat, and I fell in love with it. The way home, I kept badgering my mom, I want a banjo, I want a banjo. And my mom ordered me a banjo from J.C. Penney's catalog. It was a K, K-A-Y.
Do you still have it?
I still have it.
Well, now, you were originally from Spartanburg, South Carolina, but did you come from a musical family?
Yes, sir. I'm from Spartanburg, South Carolina, and my good buddy that passed away, Bobby Thompson. If Judy's listening, I'd like to say hello to Judy. I love her to death. Bobby Thompson was from there. Buck Trent, which is a good friend of mine, was from there. Sugarfoot Garland, you know, Hank Garland. And I was from there. And my family, all except my dad played the radio is all he said, but my mom played piano, my sister played piano, and I grew up around people like Toy Caldwell, the late Toy Caldwell, the Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh my goodness.
Friends of mine, and I was inspired, you know, by people like that. People like Carl Story, he was from Greer, South Carolina. But my fondest memories of what really, really got me in when I was in this industry and its legendary stuff, a lot of these newcomers today and these new people that play today, I'm 41, it's being with people like Bill Monroe, Jim and Jesse, the legendary people, Boys from Indiana, working with these people. And I still got all my hats. Show footprint posters, you know, really, you know, the Hat Show Print's a legendary place out of Nashville.
Well, you unquestionably have a unique and amazing talent for playing acoustic banjo, but it's with a rock sound, and in particular, I would say a southern rock sound. What groups or artists would you say have influenced you the most?
You know, that's a good question, because back in the early 80s, when I was playing amusement parks, touring, we were playing back before bluegrass was popular like it is today. Bluegrass is a major market today, as everyone knows, since the movie, you know, that the movie Brother Where Art Thou and all that stuff. Back when I was playing bluegrass back in the hard days, if you wasn't Bill Monroe or somebody like that, you know, you didn't make no money or anything. I don't do it for the money. I do it for the love of the music. But I was the first person in history to ever take a banjo to the top 40 in rock and roll. Back in the early 90s, I did a remake of Freebird. Some of the original people from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, yeah.
It was called Taylor's Freebird. That album, still to this day, is a great seller. It had Stairway to Heaven on it. I was the first person to take a banjo as a solo instrument into the top 40 to have a hit in top 40 music.
Jeez.
And that was with Rick Dees. If people go to my website, they can see that on MySpace. But if they go to my regular website, they can actually see all of that on there and actually hear me with Rick Dees on the top 40 back. That's been man, that makes me feel old. But people like John McEwen, he's a legendary player. He's a great friend of mine, and he's an idol of mine. John McEwen, like, he was playing back in the early 70s, there were banjos being played and stuff, like with Led Zeppelin, but they wouldn't be in at the front instrument.
Right.
When I took the banjo, and a lot of people don't understand, what I did with the banjo, when I did this, it was as a solo instrument, the way Kenny G did when he come out with that tenor saxophone.
Right. I want to shift gears here a little bit. Every year, you team up with Jerry Lewis in Hollywood to work the Muscular Dystrophy Association's fundraiser, which is world known. What got you started with this annual commitment?
Well, Jerry Lewis had always been an inspiration because I knew about how many people he helped, and Ed McMahon at the time, you know, he worked with him too. But I was diagnosed with my disease back when I was at the peak of my career in the rock and roll time, when I was making lots of money. And all that money was gone when I was dying because I had to have medical treatment and had no insurance or anything. I had this rare muscle disease. When I found out about the disease and they found out what it was, it made me want to start helping other people, even though I was in bad shape. Jerry Lewis, as they all knew that I played music and everything, and I was invited to be on the telethon, you know, with Celine Dion, a lot of these people, Carrot Top, a lot of my friends, to come on there. I started working with Jerry because I have a disease too, rare disease too, because I want people to know that this is legitimate. Everything that Jerry Lewis does and everything that MDA does is legitimate. These people are helping people, and they are trying to come up with a cure. My disease too, there's no cure for it. And a lot of people might say, well, he's just doing it because he wants to be cured, but that's not the case. Yeah, I hope someday that they come up with a cure for my disease and for all these other muscular diseases, because there's over 100 muscular diseases. It's just the fact of being able to try to help people, not to gain fame from it, but to try to help other people. And since I have been doing this and bringing awareness myself to the disease that I have, I was the only person in the United States diagnosed with the rare disease that I have, which is called mitochondrial myopathy complex 1 deficiency disorder at the time. Later on, a famous bicyclist named Greg LeMond, he come out with it. He had to retire for cycling. A lot of people can see news footage on that on me.
Wow.
And it talks about that. We went on national TV shows together to bring awareness. So most of my time when I'm not touring, playing music and playing and in the studio doing records and stuff, I spend my time traveling to hospitals, help educating a lot of these new doctors that have not aware of this disease. And now it's bringing awareness to where there's lots of people in the world today that may be hearing it that have problems, muscular diseases, and their doctors can't find what it is. So my goal is to educate as many these doctors as I can, so this person, they'll know, they'll look at it this way, and they'll say, well, hey, this person has mitochondria. It's now becoming prominent. Lots and lots of people, these doctors are diagnosing them with the right diagnosis because they never knew to look for that. And
sure.
When they have to look for this disease, I'll say this real quick. I don't want to take up all your time. It takes the biggest microscope Medical University in New York, Medical University and Emory University, and a couple of more have this microscope. And the disease that I have, to be able to detect it, they have to take muscle out of your leg, and they have to put it under this super, super highly superficial microscope that shows this strand of muscle disease. So a lot of people that are going through something right now, and these neurologists that they're going to know they have something, they are not able to pinpoint it because they don't have the technology of that kind of microscope and that kind of know-how to pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to send their patients, and they have to look outside the box. They have to send them to somewhere like Emory University. Dr. John Schaffner is one of the forefathers with these rare diseases. And that's where I went. If I hadn't have been sent to him, I wouldn't be talking to you today, okay?
Well, Todd, I got to say something. You know, your heart's in the right place, and I'm sure it takes an extraordinary amount of courage to just keep forging ahead the way you do. But tell me this. Todd, what's new and exciting? What's new? What's a new project you're working on? What can fans expect to see out of you this coming year?
I'm excited about this coming year. My new CDs, all the tracks have already been laid out. I'm looking forward to working with a lot of my buddies from Nashville, from Grand Ole Opry. doing a video. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a video on the song 3-5 and that we played earlier, you played earlier. And I'm going to have my buddy Charlie Cushman. He's my legendary banjo player, but he also plays guitar. He worked with Mike Snyder for many years, too, playing bass. He's going to be in my video playing guitar.
Great.
I'm going to have an all-star cast of legendary friends of mine from Nashville in that video. But I'm also looking forward to this album coming out because it's even better. I think it's the best work that I've ever done to this date. It's even better than 3-5 is great, but it's good or better. I guess the artist always says that about his other album.
Well, it's a great perspective and an attitude to have in your
but I'm
work.
Doing
it
movie
truly
stuff
is.
Too.
I want to thank you for coming on the Woodshed Music Program today.
Well, I want you to know it's been an honor, and I thank you folks for thinking about me. And it's people like you that get the word out on artists like me and musicians. And we appreciate you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you very much. We know you are a busy guy, and we appreciate your time. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. And everybody, keep listening to Woodshed. This is the program.
For more information about Todd Taylor, the Banjo Man, visit his website at www.toddtaylorbanjoman.com. To take us out today, I'm going to play another song from his CD. This is titled El Cumbanchero. Here we go. Until next time, this is your host, Gary Puckett, for the Woodshed Music Program, coming free and clear to your iPod or MP3 player through our new media program feeds on www.theflypod.com. If you don't know how to subscribe, go on our website, select the section titled Using Our Website, and we will have you iPod-y trained in no time. Now, here we go. This is El Cumbanchero. You better sit down on this one, folks. Thanks for listening. Hasta luego.